Senate Bill 225, Mr. Murphy, you ready to go with that one? Let's take 225. We'll jump around here a little bit today. We're just waiting for Senator Ketzel. I'd like to get 97 out of the way, and then we'll go to 165 and that. Excuse me, Mr. Murphy. Senate Bill 225 for an act entitled An Act to Revise Certain Provisions Relating to Insurance Taxes, Cash Surrender Values of Insurance Policies, and the Payment of Insurance Benefits. There we go.
I'm Jeremiah Murphy. I'm the registered lobbyist of Citibank, and 225 is a bill that I bring on their behalf. It comes from our trust operation, and it's an effort to bring some new business to South Dakota that we don't currently have. It's a unique bill in that it puts a very low tax on life insurance premiums over $100,000 annually, and on annuities over $1 million annually. And the purpose for those limits is that it's our belief that there are virtually no life policies in South Dakota over $100,000 or annuities over $1 million in a year. And and we're advised and informed, and we're quite sure of this from our national scope and view, that that there are life insurance policies being created by large families, very wealthy families that have dynasty trusts, and these policies have huge premiums. In fact, I was informed a week ago about a transaction where the premium was $50 million. It was $31 million the first year, and it was $5 million for the next 4 years, and the only other state that has legislation like this, but it's not as good as the one before you, 225, is Alaska. And I said, did you write that through Alaska? And he said, no, we couldn't. He said, we had to go offshore. And so the business didn't come to anybody in the United States, and they would have liked to have possibly put it through a dynasty trust, if you will, in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So what the bill does initially, it says that on a premium over $100,000, we take that, we collect the $2,500 now, and on premiums over $2,500, we would collect eight one-hundredths of a percent. So, but even on $30 million, if I figured it right, I did the other day, and I don't remember, but I think I figured that at a $27,000 premium for us, tax for us on that initial year. Now it would be about $600,000 under our regular system. Well, at $600,000, that's why they go offshore. Now, the only other state that's tried to attract this business is Alaska, and they have a premium structure similar to ours, but they don't have the other provisions in the bill. And the other provisions in the bill, let me just say this about our insurance code. Our insurance code is generally structured in such a manner as to protect the consumer. And so we have a lot of protections in there for the consumer. Now, those protections about cash surrender value and about the time you must pay cash back, about interest you must pay, are set in stone in a sense, and you have to put those in your policy, and you have to make them fit. In these private transactions where they might be dealing with, I think the more likely transaction is $3 to $5 million, but even where they do the $50 million, they have a lot of lawyers, and they have a lot of special provisions, and insurance is still a contract. And so what our amendment does is, as to those various provisions, what we say in there is that those provisions don't apply if the policyholder consents in writing. And I've got an amendment for you that I hope you would consider, which says, Jackie will circulate that, which says that the form of consent is to be developed by the director of insurance, but through rulemaking, so that I don't want to misrepresent her, but I think I can fairly say that what she said to me is these are sophisticated people, and they certainly can vary from the terms of our typical insurance code, but I want to know that they knowingly did that. And so she asked me to put that additional language on there: the consent of the policyholder should be informed, prescribed by the director in rules pursuant to Chapter 126. So in those instances when they would vary those various terms, We have a provision in code. We would have a provision in code that it would be on a form prescribed by her. And those are only, those variances would only be allowed with the consent of the policyholder. And I have to tell you that the bill was drafted very, very, very quickly because it was late coming in. And I went and asked two members of the Senate to put their name on it, and I told them that I wouldn't bring the bill unless I could visit with the governor's office, and those people would have to have some comfort in it before we brought it. That there would be no significant loss. There'd be a minimal loss of revenue at the most, and if it works, there should be a pickup of revenue. And it's in a sense an opportunity to attract some business to South Dakota. It's not a huge thing like the credit card business and some other things were, but it is a meaningful step. The bill, when it was drafted, was defectively drafted, and so the first part of the amendment corrects that defect. It really would have wiped out a lot of premium income in South Dakota, and that was a drafting error, and I didn't do it, but I brought the bill, so I have to take responsibility for it. That is corrected in here. This entire amendment that I present here has been with the approval of the insurance department. Now, I think that covers everything. I think the provisions are somewhat self-explanatory. The first section is the tax, and the second section is the retaliatory provision, and we don't apply that here because that wouldn't work. The third section relates to cash surrender value, and that's been changed. That language that's in there, 0 to 100, is stricken, and the only thing the amendment does then is to add the consent of the policyholder. And the fourth one is the cash surrender value. Some of the cash surrender value in these policies is in the form of property. It could be an apartment house. I mean, they're unique. They're different. They're hybrids. They're not your typical policy where you have cash and an insured and a premium. And so these people that are making these transactions are willing to do that. They're very sophisticated financial transactions. And I think I probably told you more about this bill than I know. We did do a survey of the insurance companies in Sioux Falls that we think could possibly write these policies, and they virtually don't write premiums over $100,000. The state has asked for one other amendment, which I haven't done yet, but I would have to do before it got there, and it would be that the bill would have a life of only a year. Well, because I should explain that when the state collects its premiums from the insurance companies, the insurance company might say we did $10 million in South Dakota, so we owe you a premium on that. You don't know if that's 1,000 policies or 100 policies. And so the state will have to ask the companies how many policies do you write, if any, of where the premium would be over $100,000. And so the state has said, well, now, if this would have any kind of impact that we wouldn't like, then we have the right to reverse. Yeah, you do. You do, because we'll never have solid information unless we do it. And that's an arrangement that the governor's office has consented to.
Senator Whiting.
So you mean this will sunset after 1 year?
Hopefully not. I think in a year it will have proven itself and it won't sunset. But it makes me come back in a year and say, we said it would do this and it did this, and we're back to say now let it go forward. And we think that, we think we're solid enough, so we're willing to do that. You know, I don't suppose that gives an investor comfort if they think that you've got a statute that's going to sunset in a year. But by the same token, that just says we're the only policies we would probably get would be the one-year premiums, where maybe there's a $5 million premium and that's it. But that would still be attractive under this arrangement, and it would possibly go someplace else, offshore or someplace else, if we didn't change our law.
Further questions for Ms. Murphy? Senator Sutton.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeremiah, I'm wondering on this legislation, what protection is there in it for the consumer? When I purchase life insurance or I sell life insurance to my clients, there's a guarantee in their contract if they want to do business in South Dakota. So I'm wondering what guarantee is there in here for the consumer that's purchasing this?
Well, those contracts are not touched. The only thing you'd have is the only contract that's touched is where the premium would be over $100,000 in a year. I think they call this private placement life insurance. And my understanding is that Mass Mutual is one that they have filed their private placement policy in all 50 states. But all of the consumer protections are in there. They're not we're letting the person that can pay $1 million premium or a $5 million premium, we're letting that person waive their premium, waive their protection. I'm sorry, not premium. We're letting that person waive their protection.
So if I may, Mr. Chairman, it's a buyer beware type of a.
It's a buyer beware. That's exactly right. And if they're paying $100,000 in premium in a year, you'd expect they'd have very, very bright counsel representing them. And if we get in the $1 million transaction, I'm talking about the $5 million, the $50 million. There's a lot of lawyers involved in that.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, the chair has
further questions.
I'm having trouble watching.
Mr. Murphy. So, Mr. Murphy, if I understand this, and I was reading the bill, and I was a little bit confused in the original bill, whether the 0.08% would apply on that excess over the first $100,000 of premium in addition to the 2.5%, or whether it was imposed as an alternative.
No, it would apply over the 100,000. It'd be 2.5% on the first 100,000, and then it would go to the.
So it would be 2.5% premium plus 0.08% on that amount of premium which exceeded $100,000.
That's correct. That's correct. I'm sorry you didn't have that amendment when you were reading the bill.
Well, I think the amendment still I see. All right. Yeah, the amendment does clarify it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Bogue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with the chair. I'm not sure that it does. I think you need to refer to that portion of the premium exceeding 100,000 if that's what you intended to do.
0.5% of premiums for a life policy on the first 100,000.
Because you're talking about all premiums exceeding, so you'd look at the entire amount then.
Oh.
Maybe you need to say plus instead of and in the.
Well, I think you need to say for that amount of the premium exceeding.
Yes. I think that would be clearer.
That's fine. That would certainly be friendly. And I want no confusion about it.
And I think you'd want to, because if I may, I realize we have not moved this amendment. Is that correct?
That's correct.
It's just on the table.
Well, it's certainly susceptible to change.
I think in that part A under paren 1 would be even more clear if you'd replace the word and with plus. Plus 0.08% for that portion. Is that what you're saying, Senator Borg? That portion of annual life premiums exceeding $100,000.
They were concerned that the
That portion, 16 million.
That's fine.
Well, I think that language should carry through.
Yes.
In every place where that 2.5% language is appearing. Jackie, do you follow what I'm saying? In other words, I think you should use 2.5% of premiums plus 0.08% for that portion of premiums exceeding. And then every place that appears. Could you draft something to that effect?
No, because it says that portion. The commissioner asked me if I was sure that didn't add 0.08 on a 2.5, and I said no, because it's that portion of which exceeds 800,000. I think it's a difference without distinction, but I'm certainly comfortable with it.
And I had a question on page 7, line 11 of the bill, and maybe you've got that.
Let's see.
I see you do. I wonder if you want the with the consent of the policyholder phrase. I see you've eliminated the word previous, but with the consent of the policyholder phrase prior to the phrase as well as payment of cash, because you want the consent to the payment of assets, right? Not the consent. You don't want the policyholder to need to consent to cash, or is it that what?
No, it's the whole transaction, as a matter of fact.
All right, so if you're proposing a combination?
Yeah, it's a combination, yeah. It would be a combination. It's the total cash surrender value, which could be property and cash, and there'd be a consent there.
All right.
And if it were all property, there'd be a consent. If it was all cash, I don't think you have a problem.
I had another question on page 5, line 12.
Page 5, 12.
And maybe you've, again, I haven't had a chance to look at this director or this amendment. I wonder if, do you want the word policyholder there, or do you want claimant there? Because they could be different parties, could they not?
They could be, and we've had that discussion. But I think the policyholder is I'm assuming that the policyholder bought the policy. That could be a trust. That could be a trust, and that'd be the policyholder. And that would probably be the claim. The policyholder and claimant would probably be the same. But I've had a discussion, and I think.
What if the policyholder is the decedent?
Well, then the policyholder is probably the decedent's estate, and I think the decedent would probably, unless the decedent were a resident of South Dakota and using this transaction, that would probably be in a trust. I don't think they can do. I don't know that they can make it in South Dakota unless they use the trust. I think most of these transactions to come under the purview of the South Dakota law would probably have to be in a trust.
All right. Are there any further questions of the witness? If not,
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify something, because I think maybe Darla was right. If we insert the word plus there, you're not intending the rate over 100,000 to be in excess of 3, are you? It's supposed to just be the 0.8. So I think we need to leave the word and instead of plus.
I think that's better.
Yeah. All right.
With that, Mr. Chairman, with those understood changes to the amendment, I would move the amendment.
Second.
All right. The motion been made by Senator Bogue and seconded by Senator McCracken that the amendment, and Jackie's revising it somewhat. But it's essentially 225JB. Are there any further is there any further, are there any further proponents? We'll leave the amendment pending. Any further proponents of Senate Bill 225?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Darla Lyon, Division of Insurance. I'm sorry I was late and didn't get an opportunity to hear Mr. Murphy's testimony, but we did work quite hard on this amendment. Originally, the bill had quite a revenue impact. It had some faulty drafting, which was not the purpose of the bill at all. It has been changed to eliminate the extent of that concern, and with the other changes of disclosure, we are supportive of the bill. And I'll answer questions if you have questions.
Any questions of Darla? Senator Sutton.
Darla, so you're going to design and carve out some policy parameters?
The disclosure parameters is what we're talking about. If you look at the amendment, where it talks about the consent of the policyholder shall be on a form prescribed by the director and rules promulgated pursuant to Chapter 126, that's what we would prescribe that form, so that it would be affirmative consent. In other words, they would have to sign, yes, I agree to do this, rather than having those conditions or terms be hidden in a policy.
Okay.
That was our concern there.
Any further questions, Darla? If not, thank you.
Thank you.
Any further proponents of Senate Bill 225? Are there any opponents of Senate Bill 225? Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll close for committee discussion and action. We have an amendment that's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment carries. Now we're acting on 225 as amended. Is there a motion? Senator Bogue.
I'd move to pass.
Move to pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator McCracken. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, the secretary will call the roll.
Bogue. McCracken?
Aye.
Sutton? Valesky?
Aye.
Whiting?
Aye.
Dugard?
Aye.
Munson? 6-0.
Senate Bill 225 will go to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, somebody step out and tell...